Let's read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to verse 6, to chapter 6, verse 10. And we will start reading there in chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Our focus this morning is on the second three attributes of the Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit: forbearance, which is patience, kindness, and goodness, that is listed there in chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Love, joy, peace, and now patience, kindness, and goodness. The first three are closely associated with loving God. The second three with loving others. We receive the abundant love, joy, and peace of the Lord that enables us to bear love, joy, and peace for the benefit of others. And as we continue to bear the fruit of the Spirit, as we continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we mature as disciples of Christ, and as all nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit are equally and simultaneously evident in our lives, we find that the Lord enables us to be patient, kind, and good to others. Now, there's a lot that can be said about each one of these three attributes of patience, kindness, goodness. And so it's a very very large topic. You know, every one of these words means a lot. But to be patient is to lovingly, joyfully, and peacefully endure hardship. To be patient when we are going through afflictions or tribulations, or when we are provoked, or when we have, or when we perceive a delay in something taking place. So patience is for us to lovingly and joyfully and peacefully endure hardship and provocation or perceived delay while trusting in God's timing and will. To be kind or to show mercy is to take deliberate action to serve others practically, to care for or to provide for someone else, even if they are undeserving or unable or even unwilling to respond with kindness or anything positive. So we would continue to be kind regardless of the outcome. So kindness is active goodness. And to be good is to reflect, is to embody the goodness of the Lord, to say and do only what He directs, to be consistent, to do what is right by the power of the Spirit, and to be who the Lord calls us to be. So in a very summarized way, That's a framework, a means by which we can think of these three attributes of the fruit of the Spirit: to be patient, to be kind, to be good. And I encourage you, use as many resources as possible, study Bibles and commentaries and other means, to study about the fruit of the Spirit, to understand what these attributes mean and to go deeper into that and to understand that. Raise questions or ask questions during our sermon discussion on Wednesday evenings. But go deep into this. Don't let this one sermon on a Sunday morning be the sum total of your receiving understanding about these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Spend time with the Lord studying this. But as we did last time, in considering the first three attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, we talked about love, joy, and peace, we considered that love is the greatest. Joy is in the trials of life, and peace is in believing. This morning, I want to similarly highlight one main point about each one of these attributes of patience, kindness, and goodness. And we want to do that this morning by looking at or considering how the Lord relates to us with regard to these three attributes, and then from that to learn how we must relate to others or how we must love others. So even as we understand how the Lord loves us, it is only as we start to comprehend the love of the Lord for us and in us that we're able to love others. And so the first point is that the Lord is patient for everyone to repent. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This is a familiar scripture, and we've brought it up in other contexts, but listen to it afresh. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We think of patience as our ability to put up with or not react to someone who's not moving fast enough or well enough for our liking, right? Oh, I just had to be so patient with this guy, right? We think of patience like that. And when we think of ourselves as patient, what we're really doing is saying, I'm curbing my impatience. I'm keeping my impatience in check. I'm just not going to be impatient. I'm not going to show my impatience. My impatience comes from my seeking my good or my convenience. Why can't this person move a little faster? Why does this line have to be this slow? And so we get impatient because it impedes our preferences, our convenience, our good. And so when we say we're being patient, what we're really doing is just not being impatient. Right? That's really what we're doing. And so we say, I was so patient with that annoying, demanding, rude person. What a good Christian I am. Right? That's how we think of ourselves. When we think about patience, we judge ourselves by this and we say, I'm a really patient person. But the Lord is not curbing his impatience. The Lord is not patient so that we will do something for his good. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I have a plan, I have a purpose, I have a timeline. Come on, get it, let's get moving. Let's, you know, I need to get this happening. That's not what the Lord is doing. The Lord is not being patient with us by curbing his impatience. The Lord is patient for us to come to repentance so that we may be restored in relationship with him. So that we have eternal life in the kingdom of God. So that we don't perish. The Lord is patient with us, not for his good, but for our good. And that is a critical point for us to keep in mind. When the Bible calls us to be patient, it's not saying so that you will have something. It's saying be patient for the sake of the other. Be patient with your spouse. Be patient with your child. Be patient with your colleague. Be patient with the stranger. Be patient not because that will help you to get something done, but for their sake. That child who's constantly asking you questions is seeking to learn. That spouse who is just annoying you to no end is seeking to understand. That stranger who you're upset with is not moving fast enough, is not, you know, is in the left lane of the road at 45, right? They may be going through all sorts of things themselves. They are struggling with something that you don't know about. All you see is what you want. And so we interpret patience and impatience to say, how can I get my way as quickly as possible? And by the way, we do this with God. We say, God, here are my 5 needs. Actually, 6. Sorry, I forgot. And I want all of them when? Now. Now. Now, we don't really use those words with God. We're a little bit more polite, but we think it. We say, Lord, I need you to move. How come you haven't moved? How come you did only 2 out of the 5 or 6? Lord God, I need you to do this. And we start to become impatient. We start to express ourselves to the Lord in these ways because we're not thinking of patience from the Lord's perspective and how he deals with us. We're thinking of it solely from our own perspective. Which brings us to the second point. The Lord is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. What do we think of kindness? We say, oh, kindness. Oh, that's to the needy person, to the deserving person, to the person who will say thank you to me when I'm kind to them. But here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 32 to 36. He said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because He, the Lord, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Don't you wish there were many verses in the Bible that just didn't say that what it does? You read it and you go, oh, why, Lord? Why does it have to say this? Be kind, or be like your Father who is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. God is not showing kindness just to those that he knows will respond to him. He's not showing kindness to those who deserve his kindness. He's not merely showing kindness to those who have done all the right things. And then he says, oh, you know, they've done all of these good things. I'll show them some kindness, some favor, some mercy, some way to move them forward. He is kind to all, to the ungrateful, to the wicked. And if that's our attitude, if that is our expectation, if that is the way that we will go about our daily lives, would it make a difference in the way that we live? I think it will. The challenge for us is not how to figure out the limits of our kindness. The challenge for us is to be like Jesus. Because, and we're doing this, we're going through this in our young adults and in our Sunday morning equipping and empowering session. The challenge for us is to be with Jesus and to be like Jesus, as followers of Jesus. Because when we do that, we will start to do what Jesus does. We will start to imitate our Lord. What does he do? He is kind. He is patient. He is merciful. And we will say, oh Lord God, I want to be like you. And at that point, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and we are looking so intently at him so as to imitate him, like a child that imitates the parent or an adult, the child is watching and is intently focused on the adult so that the child can imitate what the adult is saying or doing or how, behaving. If our eyes are fixed intently on the Lord Jesus and we are saying, Lord God, you move, you speak, you do, and I will do the same. I will imitate you. Why? Because Jesus did that. Jesus modeled that behavior for us. He said, I don't say anything until I hear the Father say it, unless I hear the Father say it. I don't do anything that the Father hasn't already done. I see the Father doing it and then I do it. And so when we imitate the Lord in that way, when we are led by him in these particular ways to express this kind of patience and kindness and so on, our eyes are not on the person receiving it. See, we're not looking at that person saying, is he worthy of my patience? You know, is my spouse, you know, like I've been patient for so long. Why, you know, do I need to be patient one more time? Do I need to be kind, you know, one more time? No, our eyes are fixed on Jesus. And he says, do this. We say, all right, I'll do it. And we're not led by the circumstance. We're not led by the person. We're not led by the expected outcome. We simply are doing what the Lord asks us to do or models for us to do. And so when we do that, we're starting to get a glimpse. We're starting to comprehend that the Lord is the one who is behaving in these ways. The Lord is patient so that we may be brought to him, so that we will have life. The Lord is kind to all, to the ungrateful and the wicked. And the Lord's goodness is manifest in the fruit that we bear. Now, here's what I mean by that. The fruit that we bear, and think about this just in the natural. When you think of a fruit tree, the fruit that is born on the fruit tree is for the benefit of those that would consume the fruit. The birds of the air and the people and whatever else that come and take of that fruit and partake of it. When we bear the fruit of the Spirit, clearly, it has benefits for us and we walk in the ways of the Lord and so on. But the fruit of the Spirit is for the good of others. When we, as good trees of the Lord, bear good fruit for the benefit of others, We are the Lord's means of fulfilling Psalm 34, verse 8, which says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." How do you understand the goodness of God? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So guess what? In order for the world around us to taste and see that the Lord is good, they've got to come into contact with you and pluck the fruit of the Spirit from you and taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, isn't that a challenge? What do we think? Oh, it doesn't matter what I do. I'll just point people to Jesus. Go and see and taste and see that the Lord is good. No, the Lord says, you are the one that is to bear the fruit. And if you yield to me, if you're planted by the streams of living water, you are patient and you are continuing to depend on me, and you allow me to prune you, you will bear fruit, and you will bear abundant fruit in season as I lead, as I direct, as I give. But when you bear fruit, what is the purpose? So that those around you that need to be saved, those that need to come into repentance, those that I am being patient with, will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. How should we understand the goodness of the Lord? We should understand the goodness of the Lord as that which we bear fruit for others to benefit from. We should say, Lord God, you help me to bear this fruit of goodness. Fruit that is good, so that people around me will experience the goodness of the Lord. Oh, they will come to these living trees. They will come to each one of us, and they will say, "Oh, I have encountered God." That should be their experience. We don't point them to a particular holy site. We don't ask them to go on pilgrimage. We don't say to them, if you do these particular things, then you will encounter God. We say, come. Come and see in my life what the Lord has done and who he is. Let me share with you the fruit of the Spirit. And when they partake, they say, the Lord is good. You see, the world around us needs to understand this, to experience this. And you got to realize, you got to remember that, you know, this idea of bearing good fruit so that the world will know that God is good, it's not just limited to the fruit. There's another image as such that we need to keep in mind, because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, "For we are God's handiwork." Last week, we were even reminded of this idea that God is the potter, we are the clay. We are made and then broken or remade and shaped, and then we are brought into the purposes of the Lord as the potter does with the clay. But we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Who defines what is good? Only God, not us. Not us saying, oh, I did this and I did that, I went there, I helped this. No, it's when we are obedient to the Lord that we would say, Lord God, I have been created, I have been shaped, I have been fashioned, I have been molded as the clay by you, the potter. I have been pruned by you, the gardener. I am your handiwork so that I may do good works. And then, here's the rest of Ephesians 2:10. We may do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is not a guessing game. We don't have to say, well, I don't know what my purpose in life is. I don't know what I'm supposed to study. I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. I don't know where I should live. I don't know anything about what should happen to me. The Lord has prepared a plan for you. Should we not go to him and say, Lord God, if you have shaped me, If you intend for me to do good works, and you have a purpose and a plan for my life, a plan to prosper me and not to bring me to harm, a plan to give me a hope and a future, let me come to you and to ask you, what should I do? Where should I go? Who should I talk to? What should I take as my next step? Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. The call on our lives is to be so led by the Lord, so obedient to Him, so filled with His goodness, and so manifesting the good deeds, the good works of God, that people will go, there's a God. I know you, and I know that this is not possible in your strength. There must be a God. That's what we want to bear testimony of. We don't want to bear testimony to somebody else to say, look at me. Look at how good I am. We want to say, here's the work of the Lord in me. Look at how good God is. That's what the verses say. Let God be glorified by your good works. Let God be lifted up by your good works, by the goodness of God in you. So, we must respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by being patient, kind, and good to all. Not to a few, not just to our brothers and our sisters in the faith, not just to those that are kind to us, not just to the grateful people, not just to the good people. We have to be kind. We have to be patient, we have to be kind, we have to be good to all. The ungrateful, the wicked, the everyone, whoever we encounter, that we would say, Lord God, help me to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Not help me to bear the fruit of the Spirit for my sake, but help me to bear the fruit of the Spirit for every one of these people, for everyone that needs to come into that relationship with you, who needs to be saved, who needs to be in eternity with you, not perishing. Oh, Lord God, do this. You see, when we consider this, as we have done with other scriptures and as we've gone through these scriptures, you know, the themes in the Word of God, they are throughout the Word of God. They don't just come in one place and then drop off. It continues everywhere. So clearly, the themes that undergird all of the fruit of the Spirit, all of these nine attributes, those themes are forgiveness, compassion, humility, that we would be people who are experiencing the forgiveness of God into our lives, that He came, that He died on the cross, that He took our sins, that because of the fact that He has forgiven us, that we can walk and live and move in forgiveness. We can move in compassion because the Lord had compassion for us and shows mercy to us. We are able to move in humility and not be proud of our own achievements because we understand that we are not saved by keeping the law. We are saved by His grace alone, by faith alone. And so because we are experiencing those things, we can respond in this command to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to be loving, to be praying for, to be sharing the Word of God with those that need to hear it. Psalm 119, verse 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If you are experiencing the goodness of God, if you are daily walking with Him and tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, if you're not, by the way, if you're not, then this is an opportunity, this is a day, this is a time for you to first come to the Lord in that way and say, Lord, I have not been experiencing for my own self the goodness of God. I have not been tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Help me to do that, Lord. Help me to come and to wait at your feet. Help me to come and to be in your presence. Help me to pay attention to your word so that I may taste and see that the Lord is good. So that the word of God comes alive in me. But when the word of God is coming alive in me, when the Lord is doing this work in me, when the word of God is sweet to my taste and like honey on my mouth, Oh, I want to share that with somebody else. I want to tell my friend. I want to tell my neighbor. I want to tell my family member, taste and see that the Lord is good. I have tasted, I have lived by this word of God. And oh, it is good. It is tasty. It is sweet. It is life-giving. Oh, I want you to have the same. I want you to experience the Lord in the same way. And I want to see that you would also bear fruit that will help somebody else. Making disciples is not going through a program, fulfilling a curriculum, having a lot of information. Making disciples is where we would so earnestly, fervently, completely dedicated, you know, giving our whole lives, follow Jesus and have this intense, burning desire in us for others also to follow Jesus. Making disciples is where we would follow Jesus so that there will be others who can also be disciples. Making disciples doesn't stop with us. Making disciples is a continuing process. It's a multiplication that every one of us would speak to one other or two others or three others or whoever that the Lord would bring into our lives to say, you can also be a disciple of Jesus. You can also be a follower of Christ. You can also bear the fruit of the Spirit. When we are patient with others for their salvation, when we are kind and merciful to others, regardless of how they treat us back or what they do, how they respond to us. And when we do good sacrificially, when we simply obey the Lord and we do good because we are imitating Him, oh, there will be a result. There will be a transformation. There will be, people will come not because they see signs and wonders, but because they see the fruit of the Spirit being born in our lives, in our churches, in our nation, in the world. That's what the world needs. In the midst of all the chaos of things that are going on, they don't need more of signs and wonders. Jesus said to them, you have all the signs and wonders. It doesn't do any good for you. But what the world needs is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 through 17 bears repeating. We've come through these verses or gone through these verses multiple times as we've gone through these scriptures. But in Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 to 17 it says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that Your call on our lives is not a trivial call. Your call on our lives, Lord, on our redeemed, sanctifying, Lord, being sanctified lives, Lord, Your call on our lives is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And we yield to You. We ask You, Lord, that the streams of living water by which we are planted would nourish our souls, would heal our minds. Lord, would reduce all the ill effects of this world and cleanse us and wash us so that we may be life-giving, life bearing. Lord God, we pray that as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, that the people around us would indeed come and partake, that our church would be a place that is a wonderfully flourishing orchard of good trees that bear good fruit. Lord God, you come and you do your work in us. You come and you move within us. You come, Lord, and transform every one of us. Lord, you do your work that no one else can do, and you do your work that is permanent. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are patient, not like us. You're not, Lord, impatient and then trying to be patient. You are patient because you care for us. You are kind because you are, Lord, merciful, compassionate, forgiving, receiving, no matter who we are and in what condition we are. And Lord, you are good all the time. All the time. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. So Lord, we come to you. We submit to you. We ask you, Lord, that even this week, as we live out our lives, we will be deliberate, we will be intentional to bear this kind of patience and kindness and goodness with our loved ones, with the people that are closest to us. Lord, we pray that we will be patient and kind and good with our colleagues and our neighbors, our family members, so many different relationships that are in our lives. Let us bear this fruit of the Holy Spirit this week. Father, as we come together each week, in whatever opportunities we get, let us share the good report, the testimony of how the Lord has caused us to bear good fruit that has benefited others. We pray all these things together in Jesus' precious name. Amen.